Good to see you out here this morning. Praise the Lord. This is awesome. What a great opportunity. I'm going to sit here and soak in the word Prophet Andre is going to be bringing. And I know, Bill and Nett, you guys are going to go, I'm not preaching today. I can receive. And exactly that's how I feel like. I feel like I'm on vacation. This is awesome. And tomorrow I don't have to prepare either because he's doing tomorrow night. Like, it's a long weekend for me. This is awesome. This is wonderful. But, you know, we are so privileged today to have Prophet Andre here. And I'm not sure if he's going to explain how he escaped from South Africa or not. But you know, South Africa's borders are closed. The airports are closed. You can't get in or out. It has been for 6 months. And he escaped with his family on a cargo plane. That's a medical cargo plane. Medical cargo plane. That's how they got out of South Africa to be here. And so we are just so blessed. It feels like, yeah, we are. We're an underground church, and we've got ministers coming in under the radar. God is sending them in. Cargo planes. That's how they're getting here. We are so awesomely blessed. Do you know that? Turn to somebody. Go like this and tell somebody, we're blessed. It's such a thrill to have you back, Prophet Andre. You blessed us last time you were here. You're just so accurate and so anointed, and we just love your humility and the spirit in which you minister God's word and the preciseness and accuracy that God moves through you. And it is a unique thing. I know that God has raised you up at this time in the world, he's given you an international ministry. And we're just so blessed that today we can feed off that ministry and receive what God has got for us. We're thrilled to have you with us. We love you, and we're looking forward to still meeting your wife and your children sometime. Amen. Prophet Andre, coming up and share what God has got for us. Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. We have to cover a lot of ground in the next couple of minutes. And so hold on, get your notebook and pen and Bible and everything ready so we can pick up speed. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Dr. Henry. It's a blessing always to minister the word of God. And Pastor Cindy and Bill and your wife, good to meet you in South Africa. It's the greatest honor to minister the word of God. There's nothing more precious than that to me. The opportunity to minister to God's people, to speak to God's people. And I love Facebook Live and Zoom and all those platforms, but there's nothing like being in the meeting, being in the room. There's one thing that you cannot receive online, and that is impartation. And that's why we need the gathering, because as I speak to you this morning, you're going to receive impartation. Your senses are going to be activated as I speak, and that's why we need to come together. And so I want to encourage you, even those that are watching online right now, you have to get to the meeting. You have to get to the gathering place. In this fellowship. And the reason is the faith, corporate. He mentioned the word corporate this morning, corporate faith. Maybe you don't have the faith for your breakthrough right now, but someone in this building has that faith. And so it's okay. Even though if you have little faith, it's okay. There's faith in the room for God to move in your life in this season. That's why we come together. It brings that corporate anointing, corporate faith together for what God wants to do in this season. Amen. My wife is in Orlando and two boys, so we got on a plane. I don't want to speak. I mean, you're streaming this, right? I don't want to too many. I don't want to get arrested or something. We got out anyway, and we're grateful to be here. We were so tempted. When I arrived in San Diego, I phoned my wife. I said to her, "Can we not lock the kids in the trunk of the car? And can you just not fly here and be here and just leave them for a day?" But we've got a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old. And they are high energy. I mean, I try to take them out, but we're working on table manners and all those things, but we're not there yet. We are very conservative, both me and my wife, but our children are the opposite. They are a different, I don't know, they don't look like us, but God has given them to us. Beautiful two boys. So the day will come. My wife's a very good teacher. She's a writer. She's a doctor, a medical doctor. She's done a lot of things. But this is her season just with the boys, with the kids. And the time will come for us to be able to travel together globally. It's in our heart. But there's a season and time for everything. And we're looking forward to that day when they getting old enough, but for now we enjoy them. I started to travel extensively the last 7 years, been in ministry for 20 years, but then traveling extensively the last 7 years. And I said to God, when I started to travel as extensively that we travel now, I said, Lord, I'll do this, but with my family. So they go with us wherever we go. So my children, my firstborn has grown up on a plane. He's been on a plane for the last 6 years. But that's it. We're involved in 40 different nations. We spend 3 months in South Africa, 3 months in Europe, and then we try to spend the rest of the remainder time here. So we travel extensively, but they go with us wherever I minister, they're in the town or in that nation close by. I try to take them with me as much as I can, and it's got its challenges, but I would rather have them part of the ministry than leave them behind. Amen. I've seen too many ministers that minister the world, but then lose their own family, and so we're not going to do that. So I minister out weekends, fly out, and then Monday it's Disney. Monday I'm with the kids, Monday to Thursday, and then I'll leave again on Friday. But that's our routine at the moment, and we just love the time. And I have to honor my wife. She's been really a great help. She's a doctor. She's got a professional ministry in South Africa. And she's an aesthetic doctor. She does Botox and fillers and threads. And so when I look at certain people, I think they need, anyway. So, so she's got a practice, but then she has to shut it down for a certain part of the year to be able to travel. And God's been blessing us both sides in ministry and in that. So that's us. We want the call of God. We want to be part of what God is doing globally right now. And I sense globally that there's a move of God that's busy taking place the last couple of years. And what God is doing right now, He's calling the fivefold back to the local church. That's the main call. The fivefold prophets back to the local church, evangelists, teachers, under the governing authority of the pastor or apostle. He's strengthening the base once again. And so this morning, I stand here to serve this house, to serve this ministry, and to serve you. I'm not here. I don't need special treatment. I'm not a specific title or position. I honor the giftings. And in the fivefold, we're there to serve each other, to serve the body, so we can be more effective going out. Amen. Okay. Amen. Let's pray and we can get into the word. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. Thank you for everyone that's watching on live stream. And Father, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. Holy Spirit, I recognize you in this place right now. We thank you that your presence is here and that you are with us in this moment. Father, I pray for revelation to come forth as I speak right now. Open up our eyes to see and reveal to us the word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of years ago, I was in Israel and I had an opportunity to speak to a rabbi for half an hour. And in this, he explained something to me in the word. He said to me, that when you read the word has three levels of revelation. The first level of revelation is ink on the paper that everyone reads. And then the second level is when someone has a revelation and they share it with people. It's the second level of revelation. And then the deepest level of revelation in the word is when God Himself, His Holy Spirit, reveals the word to you. And so this morning I pray for revelation, that you don't just see the ink on the paper or receive impartation or revelation from me, but that God opens up your eyes to see what is happening in the Word. Now, I love the Word of God, and it's my foundation. And I remember a time where I said to myself that I'm going to read the Word of God through in 1 year. I'm going to start in January, read it through in a year, and I worked out this program. And I started with my chapters every day, and in this process, the Lord stopped me. He said, Andre, I want to teach you something. He said, Andre, I want you to read, pick a verse. So I picked a verse, one of my favorite verses. He said, I want you to read this verse for the next 6 months every day. Just this one verse. I said, God, there's no way we're going to get through the Bible at this pace. I mean, I'm trying to do it in a year, the entire Bible. And so I did that. And I read that same verse. And this is what happened. Ink on paper, and then I read it again, and then revelation started to come from that verse. And then God started to open. And then for 6 months, God spoke to me through the same verse, every day something different. The same verse. And so I've realized the depth of the word. It's deep. It's not the quantity, how much you read, but it's receiving and let the Holy Spirit open that. So I've learned that the word is deep enough for an elephant to drown, yet at the same time shallow enough for a child to play. And so that's the word. It's you can decide how deep you want to go. And so we have to sit and spend time with the word. We have to read. Now, don't feel guilty when you don't read the Bible. You should never feel guilty. You should feel hungry. So don't feel guilty or judged. You should feel hungry and have a desire to read the word. Let God open that to you. And so I've started to read that and prayed and said, Lord, open it to me. And as I read that, he started to reveal more and more and more to me. Now, God speaks to us in many different ways, through preaching, through worship. But one of the ways is the word, reading the word. As we read the word, we can hear his voice. He speaks to us. And he can speak to you through that one verse every day. But what happened during that 6 months is that after 6 months, I started to memorize that one verse. Now, I'm not like Bill here this morning. I just have that one verse still. But after 6 months, that one verse became part of my DNA. It became part of my life. It became part of who I am today. That one verse, his word became flesh, became powerful. Amen? And so this morning, I want you to read, but let God open this to you and give you revelation. In John chapter 4, verse 6 to 19, I want you to look at the method that Jesus ministers. And today, we have a lot of Old Testament, New Testament prophets, but that still function with the Old Testament mindset. And God has called us to be New Testament prophets. And it's the way is completely different. Wherever I go, people have no idea what a New Testament prophet is. Their expectation, the knowledge that they have a complete Old Testament mindset. And so to make it simple to you this morning, the main purpose of a New Testament prophet is to strengthen your relationship with God. That's it. Nothing else. That's the focus this morning. I don't want you to remember me after today. I want you to walk out here today and say, God, speak to me. I need to hear your voice. If you put your trust in me, you're going to be disappointed this morning. I'm going to tell you before we get there. Put your trust in him, and he will speak to you. He's ready to speak. He's got a far greater desire to speak to you than you will ever have to speak to him. He wants to speak to you. He made you for communion, to have communion and to communicate with you. Amen? So John chapter 4, verse 6, and what I want you to see this morning, the method that Jesus uses. Now, he says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? And so look at the method that Jesus used. Jesus doesn't come in and say, good morning, lady. My name is Prophet Jesus, and I have a ministry called, and I'm going to minister to you now. His method that he used is relational. So he comes and he starts to build relationship with her by asking her just a simple question. Just give me some water. Simple. And he starts this relationship with her. And as they start to communicate, now he starts to minister to her. Never did Jesus call himself a prophet. At the end of this, this woman says, truly, you are a prophet. She turns to him, says, truly, you are a prophet. So his way is not directional, but relational. We are directional. We want direction. And a lot of people today only have relationship with God because they want direction. They're not in it for the relationship. They want answers to prayers. But he is in it for relationship. He's relational. And so God is relational. We are directional. So I can have a neighbor. I never speak to him, I never visit him, I never greet him, because I don't care about him, because there's nothing that I can get out of that relationship. But then one day, so I like BMW cars, German cars. I love those German vehicles. And so one day I hear that this neighbor of mine is a dealer principal of a BMW dealership. Guess what? Tomorrow morning I'm going to have coffee with him. I'm going to build that relationship. Why? Because there's something in that relationship for me. We are directional. Let me be honest with you. You did not marry your husband or wife because you thought you can invest or give them something. No. I picked my wife because she was educated. I heard she's going to be a doctor. You know, my parents encouraged me and said, you need to marry someone wealthy. And so there was a lot of girls in my life, but I looked for the best option. I looked for the best chance in life. And so I pursued that relationship. Why? Because it would benefit me. Be honest this morning. Just tell the person next to you that you married them because you saw something in them. Just be truthful, truthful about this. You didn't look at them and say, oh, shame, I'm going to... No. You saw something in them that's going to make you look better. And that's why you pursued that relationship. Or it's going to add value to your life. I mean, it's some part of it, you're going to benefit from it. We are directional, not relational. God is the opposite. God is not in a relationship for us, with us, because of what he can get out of us. God is in a relationship with us just because he loves us. Doesn't want anything out of you. He just wants the relationship with you. He doesn't have, there's no mandate or purpose that he has, and he's trying to convince you or buy you so that he can get you to do something. He's just in that relationship purely because he's interested in you, because he loves you, because your life has value to him, because he wants to get closer to you. That's it. And then after that, through that, our secondary purpose is born. Whether you become a pastor, a minister, a businessman, it's secondary. It's born after that. But he's mainly after you because of relationship. And so most of us pursue God for direction. And I want to say to you this morning, it's crucial. If you pursue God only for direction, you're going to miss out on relationship. But when you start to pursue him for relationship, then with that, he gives direction. A few years ago, I flew to Houston to minister, 2 years ago. And we had this idea to schedule conferences in the area, and we planned everything. A lot of effort had went into it, securing the venues, paying the deposits, and we did a tour in Texas, so Dallas, Houston. We worked everything out. It was hard work done, and then it started to rain in Houston. And so I had to leave South Africa the day, just before they shut down Houston. The airport was flooded, everything got flooded, and so the churches started to follow me. They said, listen, we're going to have to cancel all of this. And I'm standing at the airport in Johannesburg, and I need to get on that plane and decide what to do. And so Houston decided they're going to shut down Houston Airport for 24 hours. Now, my plane to Houston is going to take me 2 days. And so I'm going to still be in the air while it's within the 24 hours, so they might open when I arrive there. And so I got on the plane, flew to Dubai, arrived in Dubai, and I'm standing in Dubai, and I don't know what to do. We're waiting to hear what's going to happen. So half of the churches says, listen, let's cancel. The other half of the churches says, listen, this is a good time to minister to people. So you still need to come, but it's flooded. So I'm standing in the airport in Houston, in Dubai, and I'm saying, Lord, you need to speak to me right now. I don't know what to do. I mean, I have to make a decision right now. Do I get on this plane to Houston and just trust that everything is going to open, or do I change the flight and rather fly into Dallas and try to drive into Houston? What do I do at this moment? Now, I'm standing in a critical moment at the airport in Dubai. I need an answer right now. As I'm saying, Lord, speak to me. I'm ready to obey and listen. Just tell me, Dallas or Houston? And so God speaks to me and says, Andre, I want you to know that I'm really proud of you. I'm standing there. I say, God, I don't have time for this now. I mean, you need to, this is a crisis. I mean, I need to make a decision. I need to change the flight, or just tell me what to do. I need to know. And then God is just, and then he starts to speak to me about things in my life, but not giving me the answer. And while I'm standing there, I realized that God wants to spend time now. He wants to be relational now. I'm not going to get direction at this moment. And so I remember I said, okay, Lord, it's okay. If I miss the flight, I miss it. I'll just go back to South Africa. And so I went into the lounge at the airport, sat down, and I just started to fellowship with God. I started to spend time with him. And as I spent time with him, fellowship, not talking about the future or direction or guidance or just fellowship. As I sat there in the lounge, just fellowship with God, then suddenly he spoke to me. He said, change your flight to Dallas, quickly. So I got up, walked, changed the flight, got onto the flight to Dallas. It's a 14-hour flight. 6 hours into that flight, they announced on the plane that Houston will be closed for another 24 hours. They extended the closed airport. The direction came because of relationship. A lot of people pursue God only for answers. It's the only reason. And God is looking for people that would seek Him just because they love Him. They have no other motive. There's no other, nothing else. They just want to be with Him. Now, I know right now we're in a storm. And right now people are looking for answers. They want to know, Lord, what do we do? What's the next step? What is your plan? But in this, it's a crucial time for us to fellowship with God, for us to meet with Him one-on-one, to sit with Him and not speak about all the other things. I mean, we all of us have questions, and you're always going to have questions in your life. But just to sit with Him because you really want His heart. You want Him in it. And then through that relationship, suddenly direction will come and He will start to speak to you about other things in your life right now. So I know this morning you're sitting here and you have a crisis. And to you it's a major thing. I remember standing at that airport and it feels like my whole world is falling apart. Because I don't know what to do. And I realized that, I mean, it's not so big. It's not, we make it, I mean, this huge thing, yet we don't realize the access and the intimacy that we have with God. We make it works again. We make it, doing things for Him again, instead of just being with Him and making Him part of our lives and our routine. Amen? God's calling you this morning to a deeper place. And you can choose how deep you want to go. Your decision. He's calling all of us. He's saying, I'm calling you into a deeper place with me. And I'm giving you access to me, to approach me, and to come closer in that place. And this morning, I want to say to you that as you draw closer to Him, then He's going to answer a lot of the questions that you have at this moment in your life. He's going to start to reveal that to you in this season. Amen? And this morning, I want to touch briefly on your senses. Because we hear God, we sense Him, we feel Him, we smell Him, we taste Him, and we have spiritual senses that He can activate this morning. And I want to speak to you about your senses that you have right now so that you can pick Him up and you can fellowship and you can enjoy Him and hear Him clearer. I believe every person in this room can hear God clearly. Now, there is no such thing as an accurate prophet. There's no such thing. It's just someone who have trained the gifting. Because the gifting is the same. But the world's term is accurate because they have developed the gift. And so everyone has a gifting. Everyone can hear the voice of God. But as you develop it, we say, wow, that person is accurate. What makes that person accurate is their fellowship with God. That's what makes them sensitive. What makes you accurate, what makes God's voice in your life clear is your fellowship with God. That's what activates it. And so in Hebrews, you can read with me Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. And I'm prophesying to you now in the next 10 minutes. This is a prophecy. I'm speaking to things right now as corporately as a church. Hebrews 5 verse 14. He says, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You cannot change yourself, but you can train yourself. You can train yourself. So solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to what? To distinguish good from evil. What makes you mature is your sensitivity to distinguish good from evil. That's what makes you mature. We have people today who are in their 70s and 80s, and they are mature in age, but yet they still don't discern good and evil. And so what makes you mature is the discernment of good and evil. Now today, about 10 or 20 times a day, every day, you have to distinguish good from evil. It's not something that happens once a week. Every day you have the opportunity to distinguish good from evil. Is this God or not God? And I believe that every opportunity, every moment where you distinguish good from evil is an opportunity to be promoted. When you choose life, you're promoted. When you choose life, you grow. when you choose good, what is right, when you make a decision, you get lifted up. Now, don't be concerned. We all make mistakes. I'm still trying to make good choices every day. But it doesn't mean because you've missed it once or twice that it's over. No. God keeps on giving you another opportunity to choose between good and evil. That's what makes you mature. Now, people look at the gift today, and people think what makes you mature is how gifted you are. They think because that person is functioning in a gift of healing, he's mature, and they take the gift as a sign of maturity. They think he's mature because he's gifted. That's not true. It's a gift. It's free. It's a gift. They think because he can prophesy, they think it's a sign of maturity, his level of prophecy or the authority that he prophesies with. I'm here this morning, and this is the word that God gave me to speak to you this morning as a church. What makes you mature is not how gifted you are, but what you have survived. That's what makes you mature. And this morning, I'm speaking to a group of survivors. What does it mean? You've been through stuff in your life. And you look at yourself and you think because you've been through those things, you think it's disqualifying you, but you don't realize it made you mature. What makes you mature? The fact that you came through it and you still love God. You came through it and you're still standing. That is what makes you mature this morning. You've been through hell. And the enemy wants you to focus on that. He wants you to focus on the loss. And he wants to use that to disqualify you, to discredit you. But you need to realize that the fact that you've been through all of that and you're still standing, that is what makes you mature today. Now, when I was 10 years old, I wanted to be mature. But I've not survived anything yet. I've survived my parents. That's it. I haven't survived stuff. When I was 20 years old, I wanted to be mature. But I haven't been through things in life. I haven't been through stuff. Today, I've been through things in my life. It might look like my life is perfect, but I've been through stuff. I've been through things. And what I've learned about storms is that storms and challenges creates compassion. Because the way I would treat people 20 years ago, going through things, 20 years ago when they told me they had a problem, I would tell them, just get over it and let's move on. Let's get over it. Honestly, because I had no idea what they've been through. They would say to me, I'm facing this challenge in my relationship. I would say to them, just build a bridge and get over it. Build it. Let's go. I had no compassion because I haven't been through anything. But now I've been through stuff. And the way I look at that same challenge now, relationships, sickness, disease, pain, discomfort, I've been through things. And the way I address it now, it has created a sensitivity and also a compassion for where they are and for what they've been through. And so this morning, I'm speaking to a group of survivors, a group of people who have been through things in relationship. You've faced storms, you've faced challenges, and you feel condemned or judged, or you feel this morning that you are disqualified. But I'm here to say to you that that very thing that you went through has qualified you to be ready and to move in what God wants you to move in. It has positioned you. It has created that compassion and that heart for people. And when I say this, there's people in this room that have been through some stuff. They've been through things. They're going through things. And this morning I look at where you are and I have compassion for you because I see what you're fighting. I see what you're going through, the storm that you're in this moment. Now, to be honest with you this morning, we're going through a storm right now. We're in a storm. And to be honest with you, there's more storms coming. There's more things going to happen. By the end of the year, we're going to experience another type of storm. Next year again, another storm. And what I sense God is doing prophetically globally right now is God is busy positioning his people to stand in the midst of storms. God is busy training his people, activating their senses. And he's using the storms. In the midst of the storm, they're growing. In the midst of the storm, they're maturing. In the midst of the storm, God is using them strategically in the midst of it. And so he's teaching us how to function within storms, how to navigate in a storm, and what to do and where to go in the season. And so this morning, I want to end with Romans 11, verse 2. He says, God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. He says, don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they've killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I've reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant, chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were grace would no longer be grace. A remnant, a chosen group, a remainder. What is the remnant? The remnant is a group of people who've been through the fire, and they're still standing. They are the remainder. This morning, I am addressing you as the remnant. A group of people in San Diego who've been through the fire. And through the fire, you're still standing. You've chosen, remainder, supernatural breed. A group of people who God has selected for this season, for this moment right now. And you might look at yourself right now and say, well, Andre, I'm barely surviving. I'm just hanging on a string. You're a survivor. You've been through this, and you're here this morning. You're still here. Even Siri is agreeing, see? You're part of that remnant. You're part of that group. Now, this morning, God has a special assignment for every one of us in this time, in this season. Because through relationship comes direction. As we build relationship with Him, then the direction is revealed. And then God says, okay, this is what I'm calling you for the season. This is what I want you to be. Now, when it comes to Promise Church in this season, I sense prophetically that God, has been hiding Promise Church for the last 6 years. Hiding the church. Seems like Promise Church has been an underground church for 6 years. Hiding you. But the training happens in the hiding. The equipping happens in the hiding. In the field. And in this time, God has strengthened you. Has developed the giftings. Has put things into place. For his plan to go ahead and to move forward. Now in this year, 2020, in this year, I've been in several meetings, in several churches, several buildings, where in the service, God has lifted his presence from that place. There's nothing like that. To stand in a meeting and you feel the Holy Spirit leaves. Because he's grieved. Because they don't have the heart of God. They don't have the plan. I've been in meetings like this where I've sensed the Holy Spirit as just distant himself. And the reason is that we have to be familiar with the Holy Spirit. We have to know him. But once you become too familiar with something, it becomes unfamiliar again. And so we have to keep that respect for the Holy Spirit, that honor for the Holy Spirit. And as we keep him at the center goal, then the encounter starts to increase. And I believe that God has developed the Holy Spirit within this church, within this body for the last 6 years. And I am honored this morning to walk into a building where I can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Where he is welcome. He is celebrated. He is acknowledged. He is part of the meeting. He's not just a part of the program. And so this morning, I want to salute you as leadership and as a church. I want to salute you that you have made room for the Holy Spirit. You've embraced the Holy Spirit. Because I can sense his presence has rested upon this place. Has rested on you. And this is what we're going to need for the next move of God. It's his Holy Spirit. It's not just the word, but the Spirit. the two that comes together. And so many churches have just the word but no spirit. But this morning I'm addressing you as a church where that has strong word, but yet the spirit is also here. You have that unity between the two. And so what is God doing? He's been preparing you for a season. He's been training you, equipping you. And I sense that this church has two legs that Promise Church stands on. One leg is the church itself. The second leg is the Bible school. And God is using both of those legs to position yourself, to bring stability to what He wants to do and where He's going into the future. Now, I sense that there is a building that God has secured, positioned, prepared. The transaction started, but in the spirit I see it started to crumble. The transaction fell apart. It started to crumble. It was God. God spoke. It was God opening that door. It was the call of God. It was direction from God. But then you started to move in that direction and then it started to crumble, not work out. And I sense that God is busy strategically giving you a strategy and how to navigate through this. Now, I'm sharing this with you not just to the leadership. I'm sharing this with you as a church because you are part of what God is doing. He's busy. There's another facility that God is preparing for you as a church. And what is going to open that door is unity. Unity. And this morning, I'm calling you into unity, into what God wants to do and where He's taking you as a church in this city, in this region. Now, the Lord has geographically, every time, I mean, this area right here as well is geographically exactly where God wanted to place you. There's a lot of strange spiritual activity happening here anyway. But God has positioned you exactly where He needed you to be. Exactly. And I sense that the shift in of the new building, the place that God has for you. And I don't just see a building, I see a center, I see a facility where there's multiple things that's happening there. But the Bible school is a major part of it. The Bible school is a major part of it. God's going to use that. And so this morning I want to say to Pastor Cindy specifically as well, that she's not just called to maintain, but to grow. God didn't call her to maintain the ministry. He has called her to grow it. And so he had to put things in place. And so Pastor Cindy is a survivor. She's been through stuff. And today she is mature, not because of the mistakes that she's made, but because of the fact that she's still standing. Through the fire, still standing. The same thing with Pastor Andy, the leadership that's here. You've been through things. And through that, you're still standing. You still have your love for God. And that is what makes you mature today. And so I sense that God is ready to relaunch Promise Church. I see a relaunch. I see a rebranding that's taking place. Relaunch, refresh. It's a new thing that God is doing. Now, in this season that we're entering, personally, I sense that God is doing a new thing globally. Now, a lot of prophets, when they prophesy, they say He's doing a new thing. This is really a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And in this new thing, it's new. We don't know what to do. We don't know where we're heading. We need His voice to guide us in this season. But I would rather be an amateur in the new than an expert in the old. And a lot of people are just going back to their old ways. This is the old way of things. The Holy Spirit will lift from those places. It's a new thing. And so as Promise Church, I'm speaking to the leadership right now. God is giving you a strategy, how to move forward, what to do, what to change, how to make the adjustments. For what? For a kingdom goal. For a kingdom goal. Why did God place you? But I sense that God has called you from the beginning to be a place to train people in the Word. That is the mandate that Promise Church has in the Spirit, is to train people in the Word, train them in the Word. And then launch them, and then send them out, but to be a training facility. And so prophetically, for years and years, you've been faithful with that. And I hear the Lord saying in the Spirit now, He's saying, I'm going to add now. I'm going to multiply now. I'm going to give you a better facility, better tools, better equipment, so you can be more effective in doing what He wants you to do, growing forward. Amen?